106.9 Academy FM.
BizConnect.
Promoting and connecting businesses in Kent and around the world.
Tweet us at Kent_biz.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the BizConnect radio show with myself, Martin White, and in the studio today, my fabulous co-host,
Charlie Grimmo-Gillam.
Charlie, lovely to see you again on this beautiful summer's day.
And it's Freedom Day, and it's lovely to be here, Martin.
Freedom Day. Now, that is important because this is actually the first show we've been able to do in about 14 months where we've all been together with our guests physically in the studio. So incredibly exciting.
Fantastic. Yeah, we're honoured to have our guests here today as well. So
tell us who've we got.
So we've got Therese Bolton, who's the Business Development Manager from Martello Building Consultancy, and Daniel Sangiuseppe from Castlewood Hotel Group, Director of the Castlewood Hotels Group, which have the delightful Burlington and Abbots Barton Hotels.
Brilliant. So we've got a couple of Folkestone-based businesses in the studio with us today, which is fantastic. But I think what we'll do now, Charlie, is we'll play a little bit of music.
Okay.
And when we come back, we'll talk to Therese.
Marvellous.
Brilliant. Join us after this.
Academy FM Folkestone.
Biz Connect.
The show that promotes and connects businesses.
Welcome back, everybody, and thank you so much for joining us today on the Biz Connect radio show with myself, Martin White, and my fabulous co-host,
Charlie Grimmo-Gillam from Red Key Concepts.
Charlie, lovely to have you with us today. We've got also a couple of fabulous guests in the studio, so I'm going to hand over to them now to just introduce themselves. Therese.
Good afternoon, and great to be here on Freedom Day. Thanks for the invitation. So my name is Therese Bolton, and I'm from Martello. We are a chartered building company and RICS accredited. And our main services are we project managers, offer architecture and surveying.
Fantastic. Thanks very much, Therese. And also to my left.
Hi, I'm Daniel Sangiuseppe. I'm director of a company called Castlewood Hotels, and that's my family's business, which basically has three hotels here in the southeast. One here in Folkestone, which is the Burlington Hotel, and one in Canterbury, which is the Abbots Barton Hotel, as Charlie mentioned. I'm also the chair of the local hotel and catering association and of the local tourism business advisory board. So very much a local tourism and hospitality hat on.
Brilliant. Mm-hmm. Great. And Therese, I know you guys are very much a local Folkestone-based business as well. So just give us a brief introduction to Martello and the kind of range of services that you guys kind of provide locally and obviously further afield in Kent as well.
Yeah, sure. So we were founded by Andy Crattenden about 10 years ago. He's a local resident. He's very passionate about the area and sort of the progress and development of the area. And he named us after the Martello Towers, which are obviously we can see all around us over here. Mm-hmm. They are, strong, solid buildings, of course, and they nicely grounded, but they also look out into the future. So I think that's, where that sort of came from.
Very forward thinking.
Yes.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
We like that.
We actually all, most of us that work at Martello are residents. We've got children growing up here. So the area and the development and, just the general sort of consensus is hugely important to us to enjoy. So Martello offers, as I said, project management, architecture and surveying. And the sectors we specialize in is commercial and industrial, housing, community and public and charity sectors. Currently, we're busy with sort of commercial, we're busy with Saga office refurbishments. We've got also an international client who's based in Folkestone in Castle House called Swiss Re, doing commercial fit outs there. And yes, in community, I mean, we've been involved with the Harbour Arm, with Payers Park, and also another one which was quite exciting was the Radnor Tea Rooms and Park, which is a while ago. And folks in the Hythe District Council incorporated EKC students, which as we've been...
fantastic. Yes. Yeah, brilliant.
As we've been speaking, and talking about sort of shortages in skills and staff and just getting our local youth more involved in businesses around us. Mm-hmm. So that's one of our very exciting projects that we've been busy with.
Brilliant, brilliant. And you guys are actually all sort of interconnected, aren't you, insofar as you all kind of work together on a kind of daily basis anyway? Because I know, Charlie, you're working with Daniel, but you're also working with Martello at the moment as well, is that right?
Yeah, I mean, the Kent Construction Pond is such a small one, and, you know, being a business owner, it's nice to be able to work with like-minded people. But yes, I mean, currently we're working with Martello on a fantastic project. They're over sort of seeing six apartments and houses for us in a beautiful development called Foxbury Farm for mm-hmm. one of our clients. And then previously we've been lucky enough to assist Daniel and his family with some works on the Abbott Barton Hotel. So we've been very lucky, yeah.
Yeah, brilliant. So Terry, tell us a little bit about that project that you're involved with Charlie. Are you the kind of the main architects on that project? What's your kind of what's your role there?
We're the employer's agents, uh-huh. and it's in Foxbury Farm, and the client is English Rural Housing mm-hmm. Association, and who's been a fantastic client of ours for yeah. you know a number of years, and it's amazing to work with you know Red Key Concepts, who's still a fairly young contractor, mm-hmm. But they're dynamic and they're forward thinking, and also the quality, the level of quality of their work has been you know brilliant.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you. Yeah.
So I'm not just saying that because you're sitting next to me.
tell us a little bit about this event. It sounds like it's got a sort of did you say social housing? It's got some kind of sustainability kind of agenda behind it as well. What's going on there?
Yes. There is, I mean, well, not to take Please. It from yourself, but it's a project that incorporates quite a lot. So we've got listed OST houses, new builds, and housing association. Mm-hmm. So it's quite complex. Mm-hmm. But yes, the sustainability area is one that's probably for another show because mm-hmm. it's quite in depth. Mm-hmm. I know that with the Green Business Hub, we've put together some case studies just to sort of highlight mm-hmm. The sustainability. Last week was quite interesting. It was the relocation of some bats into their new habitat. So it's a very interesting project. Mm. And again, we're delighted to be working with Martello yeah. on that area of the Housing Association Fantastic. With English Rural.
But you guys, Terry, are also very kind of involved in the local community as well. Because I know this morning you were down on the beach. Was it doing a litter pick, Martello? Or taking
yes.
part in a litter pick after a busy week?
Very busy weekend, obviously. Everybody went to the beach and enjoyed the scenery. So Andy Crattenden and Annabelle, who's one of our colleagues, they were really sort of cleaning up there and sprucing with town sprucer. And yes, I mean, you know, the environment and our direct sort of town environment is a hugely important factor to us. Mm. And you know, we sit on, like Daniel, we sit on some of the folks in the High District Business Advisory Board. We also the East Kent Economic Development. So in terms of collaborating with local businesses, this litter pick was with Jenner mm-hmm. Construction, you know, and they actually invited us over. Mm-hmm. So there's definitely a conscious kind of, you know, choice these
community
days.
Community feel,
yes,
isn't there? Yeah,
that
brilliant.
That we all work together and, you know, make the best of our beautiful yeah. surroundings.
Yeah, because that's another big development, isn't it, that's going on down. Is it down at the harbour? A huge new development of apartments. And
it is with Jenner, yes.
Yeah, it's yeah. fabulous. Yes, yeah. fantastic.
Unbelievable. I just walked past it and I couldn't believe yeah. What they've actually managed to do in a very short space of yeah. time. And it's magnificent. I mean, it's drawing, you know, it's drawing people from all over, businesses to come and, you know, locate here mm-hmm. and start fresh. And we need to think of our, you know, we all have children in this room and their future and, you know, where they're going to sort of get the opportunities to work.
Mm. Yeah, and I think importantly that particular build is not only the size is phenomenal, but that particular build has only been operational in COVID circumstances. So now today marking Freedom Day, which is what we're here, it just shows what can be done with the right contractor and the right mindset.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's bring Daniel in here as well, because I think it's fair to say that all our coastal towns are having a bit of a revival at the moment, Daniel. I mean, I'm in Thanet, you know, so whether it's, you know, Ramsgate or Margate, I mean, Broadstairs has always been popular. But, you know, certainly Ramsgate and Margate are very much on the up, and Folkestone is as well. So what's kind of driving all this, do you think?
There's definitely been a surge in demand for, as you say, coastal and rural, so countryside and coast. They're the two areas since this whole COVID situation has happened that people have been drawn to when they've wanted to get out of their homes. So the staycation effect that happened last summer, if you remember, in between the two lockdowns, and again what we're seeing now this time round, is that the vast majority of people, the first place that they look towards when they're looking at going and booking a little break, because the vast majority of people are still looking in the UK, they're not considering abroad because of all the travel problems, is they're looking, as you say, on the to go somewhere on the seaside or countryside. And in particular, we're very fortunate in this part of the world, here in our little corner of East Kent, that I think because of the location with the proximity to London and the connections that we've got, be it road or be it rail or what have you. And I think also because of so much really positive PR that's built up over the last 10 years, mainly from driven by, I would say, the creative sector. They have sort of really put us on the map. And so much so that now there are loads of attractions, events, festivals and things going on.
Lots going on, yeah.
So people want to come down here,
fantastic.
Yeah.
Fantastic, good. Well, I think what we'll do is we'll play a little bit of music and then we'll come back. We'll talk to Terry some more and then we'll pick up on some of those points as well if we can. But do stay with us and we'll be straight back after this.
105.9 Academy FM.
BizConnect.
Promoting and connecting businesses in Kent and around the world.
Tweet us at Kent_biz.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the BizConnect radio show on this beautiful summer's day down here in Folkestone. I'm delighted to say that we've got Terry Bolton in the studio with us from Martello Building Consultancy.
Good afternoon.
Lovely to have you with us, Terry. And we've also got Daniel Sanguiseppe from Castlewood Hotels.
Yep, good afternoon.
Lovely to have you as well, Daniel. Before the break, we were talking a little bit about all the kind of exciting things that are going on in our coastal towns at the moment, and obviously tons going on in Folkestone as well. But Terry, I know you wanted to talk about you know, the importance of local to you guys as a business in terms of, you know, supply chain and local support and businesses kind of just getting together and you know, for the greater good. So tell us a little bit about what's going on in your world on that level.
Absolutely. Thank you, Martin. So I think what we've all realized during these times is that we really need to be there for one another, businesses, you know, as well, and sort of, you know, get together with a lot of ideas and how we can overcome any sort of challenges during this time. And we've had a phenomenal help from local businesses. Andy is actually doing a Martello charity challenge in October.
It's amazing,
yeah. You know, it's all on social media. But he's sadly lost his mom sort of during last year to cancer. And so he really wanted to do something for Macmillan because, like most charities, have been struggling, you know, with finances during these times. And so he's walking on the 2nd of October, covering 117 kilometres, and he's sort of connecting, walking between 26 Martello towers, which is, you know, great.
Wow, yeah, it's a real challenge.
He's taking it really seriously because I've seen him at the gym.
Yeah,
so he's been training hard.
So anyone out there who wants to join him on his lunchtime hills, please feel free to come join him. But anyway, basically what we've seen is phenomenal business corporate sponsorship, and he only started raising money in May, I think it was, and up to date is about £14,000 that he's raised.
Brilliant.
So
what a great, really
well done. But thank you to, you know, to all the businesses. And whenever we do sort of projects, because we do, as I said, a lot for the local authorities, and we always try and obviously connect with as many businesses, whether it's through networking or any events, and you know, really encourage working together.
I think it's definitely seen as a business that you sort of grow grow from within, and you support and try and encourage local businesses, and also local people, and the supply chain is very much a local one, which is really seen in Martello in what you do.
Absolutely, thank you, Charlie. I mean, on that note as well, you know, a great it's wonderful that Annabelle, who was she was a holiday. What do you call it, work experience.
Yeah.
She was in Folkestone school.
Girls' school.
And this is a few years back, and she came for the work experience, and then she just got so involved in the whole architecture side of things that we were doing, and it really encouraged her and spurred her on to do an actual degree in architecture.
Wow, brilliant.
And she then came back and sort of helped us out during COVID times, remote working, which was brilliant. And she was helping with a litter pick today. And I'm very happy to say we're so proud of her. She's going to do her master's now in architecture.
Brilliant.
So, you know, if again, just back on the sort of local and also for our youth here, if we can have more opportunities for them and just encourage them, that's great. Folkestone Council as well, Folkestone High District Council, they're doing, Daniel, I think you also know, obviously, the Place campaign. Sort of to really showcase our area,
the town centre, that is.
Yes, yeah, and bring more businesses. Yeah. So,
I really like the sound of that, because, you know, particularly with something like architecture, unless you've lived in an area and you know, you understand, you know, what buildings, what purpose buildings need to kind of fulfil and kind of, you know, and meet. It must be quite difficult for somebody kind of coming in fresh to just kind of be able to kind of, you know, add that dynamic to the work that they actually do. You need to live in an area, don't you, to be able to understand it, to then know what needs, you know, what's needed, I guess.
Yeah, to be sympathetic with the surrounding areas. And I think Daniel and I were talking prior to the show this afternoon, and another thing that we are suffering from in an industry, and I'm sure you're probably the same, Tari, is a shortage of staff and a shortage of workforce. And so it's really a case. It's a great story to hear from Martello, but it's great that, you know, we've been out anyway as a business at Red Key Concepts to local schools to try and make construction more interesting. Because certainly when I was at school, I was never sold construction, kind of fallen into it, for want of a better description. So it's great if you are a business owner out there that you can get staff in, school leavers in, and actually showcase what the construction industry is. We had somebody that came in from school to work in our accounts department. She then realised exactly what the construction industry involved. We've had her for 3 years and progressed her and given the tools and the support. And she's now a project coordinator. Nothing to do with accounts. So I think, you know, the more we can, as local businesses, show that we've got the facilities to get school leavers in whatever industry sector, the better.
Absolutely.
Just making them more aware of the opportunities. And the only way, as you guys are saying, is to get them into the businesses with work experience.
And it's such a varied career, isn't it? You know, when construction, in my mind, when I was growing up, was sort of climbing up a ladder with a hod full of kind of messy cement dripping down my back.
Gosh, how old are you, Martin?
Well, old, obviously. But, you know, times have certainly changed. I mean, I must admit, my brother was a quantity surveyor at the time, so he kind of got me my first building job, in inverted commas, and that's what it entailed, and it kind of put me off for life. But, but yeah, it is a very varied career and huge kind of opportunities, and architecture, I think, is a very exciting kind of very dynamic space to be in at the moment,
and very creative. Yes, I mean, we're really pushing, I think, the boundaries these days, and you can just again look at local you know, examples, what's around us, local examples. Definitely.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, on that kind of creative theme there, let's talk a little bit about the triennial creative arts kind of celebration that's about to kind of hit us. Just tell us a little bit about that, Tari, and how you guys are kind of getting involved there.
Oh yes, no, we are super excited, because this is our third triennial we're busy with the Creative Folkestone, and I mean, that Creative Folkestone has done, you know, just it's just uplifted the area in terms of allowing all these artists to come in and showcasing. So I think it's their fifth edition this year, starting on the 22nd of July till the 2nd of November. And if I'm correct, it's 27 newly commissioned artworks done by various artists from all over the world. So, you know, I mean, in Folkestone.
And it's putting you really on the map, Folkestone,
absolutely.
Isn't it? It's fantastic, yeah.
So it's all installation art, and the theme is the plot. So definitely, if you want to get more involved, have a read up on Creative Folkestone website. They explain, you know, the whole sort of theme behind it. And it'd be wonderful, you know, for everyone to sort of enjoy over the next sort of holiday and summertime.
So that starts on Thursday this week. Brilliant. Fantastic. Good. Well, Terry, it's been absolutely lovely to have you with us today.
Yes,
just tell us, if we are, you know, perhaps a homeowner that's thinking about an extension, or we're a business, and we're thinking about some kind of development opportunity, and we need to talk to some local expertise like yourselves, how do we get in touch? What's the best way for people to kind of contact you and have a conversation?
Absolutely. Well, first of all, we're based in the Creative Quarter, in the heart of it all, in South Street. So best way is really contact us on 01303 856 469, or get in touch with myself. I'm always happy to help, have one-to-ones with businesses or you know, potential people who are thinking of potential projects. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you can get me to Ree Bolton at Martello. Thank
Brilliant.
You.
And your website is, just give us a quick shout out for your website address.
Website is martellobc.co.uk.
Brilliant.
And any other businesses out there that are interested in supporting your director or managing director Andy on his feet, they can get back to you and pledge. There's still some extra support required, is it?
You're absolutely
still taking,
Charlie.
Fundraising.
Thank you for that. Yes, I mean, the more we can give to Macmillan, you know, it'd be fantastic. Mm-hmm. So again, we're he's got a website, Martello Charity Challenge 2021.co.uk, and you can do just on the Just Giving page, or if you want corporate sponsorship, we'll take that as well. Thank
Brilliant.
You so much.
Brilliant. Terry, lovely to have you with us. Do
Thank
stay
you.
With us for the second part of the show when we talk to Daniel, but for now I think what we'll do is we'll play a little bit of music and we'll be straight back after this.
105.9 Academy FM.
Biz Connect.
Promoting and connecting businesses in Kent and around the world.
Tweet us at Kent_biz.
Welcome back, everybody, and thank you so much for staying with the Biz Connect radio show today on this beautiful, sunny Folkestone summer's day. And I'm delighted to say that we've got our second guest in the studio now who we're going to talk to, and that is Daniel San Giuseppe. Daniel, lovely to have you with us.
Hello again.
Great to have you with us today. Tell us a little bit about Castlewood Hotels, if you don't mind, and in particular the Burlington Hotel here in Folkestone, Daniel.
Yeah, Castlewood Hotels is just the name of the group of the family business, which is the three hotels, as I mentioned. And yes, the Burlington, or the Best Western Plus Burlington, is our hotel here in Folkestone, and we've had that for 27 years in the family.
Wow.
So is that your first family hotel?
It was the first one. We moved in 94. We moved down to the Burlington, the mum and dad, with myself, my brother and my sister, and we actually lived in the hotel. We took a few of the bedrooms, converted it into like a flat, and that's where we set camp, and that's where we started our Folkestone life, as it were. Went to, you know, the schools locally, and moved on from there, and then grew the business from there.
Fantastic. So you've now got the Abbots Barton in Canterbury, and you also have a hotel in Eastbourne.
That's
right.
Yeah, got the York House in Eastbourne, which is also, all three hotels are they're all Best Western. Mm-hmm. They're all part of the Best Western branding.
So just tell us what that actually means. What does Best Western branding actually mean? What does it mean to me as a customer?
So obviously it's a brand which you as a customer potentially might have heard of. You've heard of the name, and you maybe have seen other Best Westerns around the world.
Yeah.
But basically some people think it's a franchise. It's not technically speaking a franchise. It's what's called a market consortium. So it's more of a membership agreement in place. Mm-hmm. Best Western is this massive international American brand, And every Best Western hotel in the world is independently owned by companies or families or private individuals. So Best Western themselves don't actually own any of the hotels. Mm-hmm. And they have minimum standards with if you want to become a Best Western hotel. And within Best Western, there are different, if you like, sub-brands. So there's Best Western, Best Western Plus, Best Western Premier, and loads of other little brands as well. And depending on the standard of your hotel, then if three-star, four-star, boutique, you know, different with a spa, depending on what you've got, facilities and how it looks and feels, then you can apply to become a Best Western hotel. Mm-hmm. And the reason why you'd want to do that is, as I said before, it's because you buy into this family, this brand that has got a worldwide name, mm-hmm. which sometimes can be a good thing or a bad thing, because some people maybe, you know, like any brand, if you've had a bad experience with one with one of those brands, then you sort of almost tar every other brand with the same brush, don't mm-hmm. you? But other people know it and they're loyal to it. There's mm-hmm. there's a loyity mm-hmm. base, there's a loyalty card.
So it has its own booking system online, for example.
And then they mm-hmm. have preferential agreements with loads of partners and agents to basically deliver us business, and they do marketing and promotions and all the rest
and importantly to me as a customer, it means I'm going to get a certain delivery of standard and service at that particular hotel that I'm familiar with and that I actually like, and that's why I want to stay
at
Best Western.
Exactly it. You can you pretty much go with a brand, don't you, because you get hopefully what you expect. You know, there's a certain standard, whether it's you get free Wi-Fi, whether it's blackout, whether it's a certain size TV, whatever it may be, that you'd expect that in every as a minimum in every Best Western hotel.
Fantastic. So I think it's probably fair to say that the hospitality and leisure industry has been one of the worst affected industries by the pandemic. Obviously we're starting to come out of that now. It's Freedom Day today. What is that going to mean to you as a business on a kind of an operational level, Daniel?
As you say, we have taken a big hit in our industry. Hospitality always seems to be the first ones that close down and the last ones to open when these things have happened. So has been the case that we have had to reopen gradually with loads of restrictions in place that people are fully aware of, whether it's in bars and restaurants or whether it's when you're staying actually in an accommodation. But now, as of today, technically speaking, Freedom Day, we are in that last phase of the roadmap. So all those restrictions that we've been living with are off. Mm-hmm. Now, what does that mean, as you say? You asked the question. It means that legally, people don't have to wear the face masks. It means that, for example, in the bar and restaurant, we don't have to do the rule of six anymore or two households. Yeah. You don't have to go, you don't have to have table service. You don't have to have these limitations with regards to, for example, live music. We couldn't have before live music because people weren't meant to talk over the music and shout. Mm.
And it was singing and dancing at weddings.
No singing and dancing, exactly.
You host fabulous weddings in your hotels.
Anything that generally involved having fun, then?
Anything which was really, it was all about contact. So limiting touch points, contact, and use of basically the way of life like that before. Buffets, for example, we couldn't do buffets at breakfast time. Yes. So all those loads and loads of restrictions, in theory, now have been lifted. Mm-hmm. How is that actually going to affect us going forward? Are people going to want everything to be lifted? This is where we don't know how things are going to happen. And it's funny, this morning I was just saying, whilst we were listening to the track was on, that I popped into the hotel this morning to see exactly, out of curiosity, whether or not people were going to start behaving differently, like with the masks as an example. And funnily enough, this morning upon checkout and after breakfast, I would say that more than 50% of customers that I saw were still wearing their mask, even though they didn't have to. Yeah. Mm. So,
just turning up here today, we won't name masks, names, but three of us were and one of us wasn't. Yes. So that's 75%.
It's a guilty
party. So I do think it's going to still come down to personal judgment and how people are going to still act to how they want to. Mm-hmm. The approach that we've taken is that we're not going to basically just all of a sudden stop everything in its tracks.
No.
Weddings are going to come back and we are going to basically be able to do certain things differently mm-hmm. or back to how they were before. Mm-hmm. However, we're still going to keep things like, for example, recommending table service. Mm-hmm. So even though you can go to the bar and ask for your drink and have it at the bar, we're still going to encourage table service, mm-hmm. encourage contactless. Mm-hmm. Staff and customers are still going to freely be allowed to wear the masks, of course, if they want to. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And we're still going to have the signs up with the QR codes where you check in mm-hmm. and even the signs saying about like, if you want to wear your, recommended to wear your face yeah. mask, mm-hmm. the signs in the toilet about washing your hands, mm-hmm. hygiene. Mm-hmm. We're still going to keep the hotels really well ventilated, all the doors and windows open. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the best practice, if you like.
So does that mean you'll still be operating at below capacity because of that?
We're not going to not sell rooms, if you like, because of restrictions, because of COVID. Mm-hmm. And for example, we are not going to maintain 2 meters between tables and chairs in the bar and restaurant anymore. Mm-hmm. However, we will spread things out. So obviously, people will want to be spread out, and where possible, mm-hmm. they'll still want to prioritize maybe outdoor seating. Mm-hmm. But in theory, yeah, I think it's going to be really a case of suck it and see, yes. and see what people want to do. Mm-hmm. I think the challenge is more a case of seeing how people react and how well they receive all of a sudden being in an enclosure where there's lots of tables next to each other.
Yeah.
So yeah, we'll just have to play by ear.
And I think you've got I think you've got a big challenge on your hand in the summer. We were talking about this earlier with staycations. Now, the limits on us being able to travel abroad. People want to come down to the coast. And if you haven't been to the Burlington, it is a phenomenal hotel. And I think you've got to... For you as a business owner, it's about safeguarding your staff and making sure that they are comfortable and they're happy to be within that close proximity. Because yesterday we weren't; we all had to wear masks. Today it's Freedom Day, and within the matter of 24 hours, everybody's mindset now has to, for want of a better description, change. Mm. You know, COVID is not going to go away. We're going to be living with COVID for a very long time.
Yeah. But you can't switch it. You can't just switch it off, can
you?
Just because it's Freedom Day. Mm. I mean, as you were saying, people won't want that necessarily.
No. There is this balancing act we're going to have to do, as you say, Charlie, especially when it comes to, there is the commercial aspect of the business, as you say. You know, we've spent over £2 million investing in the hotel to bring it up to what the standard it is now at the Burlington, and what we've done downstairs at the Bay Tree. So there is a return financially that needs to happen now. But at the same time, you do have to protect, in particular, as you say, the staff.
Yes.
And make sure that customers feel safe and welcome, and that the experience is still there, and that you can deliver the quality that we've been trying to build towards over the last few years leading up to COVID. So that is going to be the biggest challenge, basically, trying to make sure that we can survive financially and at the same time make sure that people still feel comfortable. Yeah.
Well, I think what we'll do there, Daniel, is we'll play a little bit of music now. And when we come back, we'll talk about, some of the other aspects of COVID in terms of the support that you've received as a business, and whether or not you think the hospitality sector has been looked after sufficiently, and how you see the kind of the future panning out, really, because I think it's a very exciting time, potentially, and hopefully for the leisure and hospitality industry in this country. So bear with us, and we'll be straight back after this.
105.9 Academy FM.
Biz Connect.
Promoting and connecting businesses in Kent and around the world.
Tweet us at Kent_biz.
Welcome back, everybody, for the final part of the Biz Connect radio show today. I'm delighted that we've got a packed studio. Because of Freedom Day, we're able to get together again, live in the studio, as it were. We've got my fabulous co-host,
Charlie Gremo-Gillam from Red Key Concepts. It's great to be here.
Fantastic. We've got...
Therese from Martello Building Consultancy.
And we've also got...
Daniel from the Burlington Hotel.
Brilliant. Daniel, let's pick up where we left off before the break, if we can. We were talking about Freedom Day. We were talking about what that may mean for businesses like yours in the leisure and hospitality sector moving forwards from today. Just tell us a little bit, in your own words, about the support that you've received to help you get through the last kind of 14 months, which has been unprecedented, really, in terms of the impact it's had on your business.
Well, yeah, from those, in those 14 months you mentioned, we've been closed for about 10 of them. So obviously there was some financial support, as has been well documented. You know, there were some grants. There has been some business rate relief as well for 12 months, and then reductions currently. And there has been the furlough scheme. So those have been the biggest main supports from a financial point of view. There have been some other incentives as well here and there, like deferment of VAT payments and a few other. And there have been the ability to get these bounce back loans or CBILS loans. But again, all you're doing with that situation is you're just increasing your debt, which is what a lot of businesses have had to do to get cash flow in. But from a financial point of view, as I say, the grants have been the most welcome to actually physically get some cash to stop or to help towards all the money that we've been hemorrhaging every month with bills going out whilst the hotels have been closed. Because there is a lot of costs whilst even the hotel is closed and you have no income coming in at all. So there has been some. I'll be honest with you. It has pretty much scraped the sides as far as as far as how much we've lost. We have continued to lose a lot of money. The vast majority of hotels in the area, some hotels managed to stay open, and they've worked with some, you know, with key workers during the period. Some businesses were able to do things like continue to offer takeaways and collections for food and drink. So there have been a few little pockets of stories of local businesses that have managed to keep trading at least during the lockdown. But on the whole, it has been financially very, very, very tough.
So the reality is you've had to put your hand in your pocket. And you've had to take, you know, whatever savings you've built up in the business over the years, and you've had to spend money.
Exactly that, yes. Yeah. And we've had to take out one of these CBILS loans. So we have had to incur more debt, which is going to have to be repaid. So there's a lot more financial pressure on the business now to basically make a return.
And there's another dynamic I want to talk about as well as a result of all of this. And again, it's been well publicised recently. And that is the difficulty that you're now facing getting staff to actually, you know, come back to the hotels and work in the industry again.
Yes, we've it's been a number of employers or big businesses in the hospitality sector have, you know, gone on the news, and it's well documented in the media that there is a perfect storm when it comes to staffing.
That's a great way to describe it, Daniel.
There's this, it's this double whammy of Brexit combined with the COVID pandemic. Brexit because of the fact that many of our staff historically have always been, traditionally been Europeans. We've always had probably 50-60% of our workforce have come from Europe. And a lot of them have gone back home. And again, and we can't bring many of them back in at the moment because of the restrictions, and even because of the way it works now since Brexit to employ people now from outside of the of the UK. There are a lot of costs involved that don't really make it financially viable for us to bring in certain people because the salaries are just way too high for what we can justify for certain positions.
And also, I guess people have got used to perhaps not working in that industry and have seen other opportunities outside of that, and then they're following a completely different career path.
Exactly that, Martin. That, and that's the second side of it is, say, I was saying about since COVID, people have been on furlough at home, maybe got second jobs, they've started training in something else that they maybe were passionate about before but never really tried to. They've had time on their hands, so they've looked into that, or they've got a second job doing something else or doing some admin work, and people have got used to this sort of working from home remote access where they can do admin work 2 or 3 days a week, pick and choose their hours, suiting around their lifestyle now. And now the appeal, if you like, or the wanting to work more broken shifts, unsociable, isn't as appealing to many people nowadays, or there are so many other jobs that they are more appealing.
So you're finding that, is it safe to say that with the staycations and somewhere as exquisite as the Burlington, your demand is going to be increasing, but staff retention and staff recruitment is decreasing through no fault of your own?
Yeah, it's crazy. We've got this mad situation where, as you say, demand potentially now is going to go through the roof for this summer. Again, like like it was last summer, albeit predominantly British, because I don't think we're going to get that many international, European or American tourists coming over, or a lot of business demand now for the summer. It's going to be domestic leisure demand. So yes, I think in this part of the world we're gonna be a high demand area. People want to come to spend their summer holidays down here. But the big challenge is, can we actually deal with that demand from a staffing point of view? Because we're struggling to find staff for love nor money at the moment. So,
and I think with regards, as Tariq was saying, Folkestone being so supportive and such a supportive community, local business owners, I for one have had an event at the Bay Tree, which was phenomenal, which is one of the newer areas of the Burlington. So it's not only people coming to stay in the hotel, it's local businesses that can use those facilities for functions, to treat their teams for dinners out, or to treat your clients for lunches, etc., etc.
So, or even just coming for a coffee,
absolutely,
in the afternoon,
or breakfast, or whatever,
or a drink in the evening, So, as you say, it's having an impact on all the local hospitality businesses. All the local bars and restaurants are in the same boat when it comes to find staff at the moment.
This doesn't sound like a short-term trend to me. This sounds like a long-term fundamental shift. So, how is the industry going to tackle that? I mean, what can be done?
There's no magic wand. As you say, I think this is going to be a more of a long-term situation. There's going to be a bit more pain initially over the next few months. UK Hospitality, which is our sort of trade organisation nationally, which tries to support us, and they liaise with government, they've come up with this 6-point plan or 12-point plan. They've got with some short-term, medium and long-term actions. And they basically include things like working with the education sector, with the colleges, the schools, when it comes to trying to aspire again. That's more for the youth to want to come and work in our industry. They're talking about trying to again allow exceptions, a bit like they did with the seasonal workers with the fruit picking, to allow the Europeans to actually come over, so we can at least get some Europeans in to help increase the pool of staff, and a few other areas where they're talking about again when it comes to support financially to get more staff.
Brilliant. So plenty of headwind still by the sounds of it, unfortunately for your industry, but fingers crossed for a really good trading summer and summer period for you guys.
We're optimistic still. We're gonna have a good summer down here.
Brilliant. So on that basis, how can people actually book a room at one of your fabulous hotels?
All three hotels are on Best Western, so you can find them all on the bestwestern.co.uk website, or individually. Each hotel's got their own website, so at the burlingtonhotel.com. And again, you can see all that we offer on there. Book a room, you can look at our bar, restaurant, buy vouchers.
That's a good idea for people that can't travel down now.
It's a really good way of looking things for afternoon teas or monetary vouchers. And then, of course, like everything nowadays, look on social media. We're on Instagram, we're on Facebook.
Brilliant. Daniel, thank you so much for joining us in the studio today. It's been lovely to get an insight into your world and everything that's going on there. But it's hopefully today is the beginning of the end of everything that we've all had to go through over the last 14 months. Fantastic. So thank you to all our guests today in the studio. It's been absolutely amazing to have you with us and to be face to face, and
not on a Zoom meeting or something.
Absolutely, or at the end of a telephone.
No technical issues at this time, which is good.
At the end of a telephone, so it's been wonderful. Thank you, Charlie, for joining us as
pleasure
well.
Pleasure as always, Martin. Thank you for inviting me.
Super to have you with us. And we will be back in a couple of weeks' time with some more fabulous guests live in the studio, as it were. But for now, from everybody here, I think it's time to say goodbye.
Cheers. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Thank you.
And thank you for tuning in.
And Happy Freedom Day.
Happy Freedom
Day. Let's
go
celebrate.
Bye-bye for now.
105.9 Academy FM Folkestone.
Biz Connect.
The show that promotes and connects businesses.